Good morning. Today's daf in Beitza is Mem, final daf of the Masechta. Short daf today. The Masechta ends pretty much on the top of the Amud Beis. Let's get underway. In the fifth parak here of Beitza, we've been obsessed with Tchum. Tchum Shabbos, Tchum Yantuf. So on Shabbos and Yantuf, we are all circumscribed in terms of where we can travel. We can only go beyond our Makom Shvisa or beyond the era by 2,000 Amos and no more than 2,000 Amos. Now, what you can do, as we've been discussing now time and again throughout our parak, is that you can extend your tchum. You could take your makom shvisa, move it prior to yantar, prior to Shabbos, and extend your tchum in various directions. So you can have scenarios, really interesting scenarios in Shabbos and yantiv, where you can walk to a certain location, but meanwhile cannot be reciprocated. They can't walk to you. In other words, you extended your tchum, but meanwhile they didn't extend their tchum. So it's very possible that on Shabbos and yantiv, so you can have. You can have one directional relationships. I can go there, but they can't come here. Additionally, another thing that we've been discussing numerous times now in this fifth parak of Beitza is that all my items that belong to me are going to be subscribing to my tchum. So any object or food that I own is going to be bound by my tchum. And we've been discussing now extensively, what if I have shared items? I have a barrel of wine. I got an animal that's owned in partnership. So where can I take the animal and the barrel of wine? And the answer presumably is wherever, only a shared area, only common area that you and I overlap on. That's it. You can't take it to another area. Good. That's been our discussion here in the fifth parak of Beitza. There was a lot of talk about tchum and a lot of different scenarios that we brought up. Next mission we're about. Because by tchum it's not zchus. I understand that, but by tchum it's not a zchus because it's a zero sum game. When I extend tchum in one direction, I lose in another direction. Okay. I didn't make that up. The gemara says that a number of different occasions. Okay, so by erev chatzeros, so then we do say zachon l'adam shelo b'fanav because there it's all benefited and there's no downside. But by tchum there's a benefit and there's a downside. So it's not all zchus, and therefore you can't make an erev tchum on behalf of somebody else without their knowledge. Okay, good. All right, our Mishnah is no different than the previous Mishnah. So our Mishnah also is going to continue along its theme of various scenarios regarding tchum. A lot of fun examples that are given in our Mishnah. Two examples to be specific, but the more discussion regarding tchum. So we are on the Mishnah on the bottom, on Lamed Testament base, and we continue. So Misha Yoperosa Bira Cheres Ve'iruvu B'nei Oso Ha'ir Lahavi Etzlo Miperosav. So let's say you had Peros in another city. And as far as your ability to go to the other city, so you can't go there. In other words, it's beyond your tchum. So you do not have the ability to access your food, which is in another city. Meanwhile, however, they made a tchum in your direction, and they could have brought you your food. So now, on Yantav itself. So can they bring your food? So the Mishnah says no, they cannot. And the reason why they can't is for the following. Because it turns out now that your item is outside of its chum, meaning it's your fruit in another city, which you didn't make an erev towards. So now that means that your fruit is outside of its chum. And what have we learned consistently when somebody is outside of their chum? When somebody's outside of their chum, that's it. They're landlocked. They're only afforded dala amos in the area. Over here, I know we're not talking about a person. I know we're talking about food, but the halacha is the same. Because that food now is outside of your tchum, despite the fact that you have a group of people over there who are currently entrusted in watching your food, they did make a tchum, and they could come over here, but it's not their food, it's your food. And so since it's your food and it's outside of your tchum, and you didn't make an air tchum accessing with the ability to access that food, so consequently, that food now is going to be stuck in that location. And then the Mishnah points out, v'imir evu perosav kamo. Now, if you made an erev prior to Yantiv, so that you had the ability to get out there and to get your food, so now that's good. So now that food is within your tchum, and so therefore so somebody can bring you the food. Okay.
What is this new commission? It's nothing, because we had it from before. The idea that the produce goes with you.
Right. It is a new example. This mission over here is providing for us a new scenario. Could we have figured this out on our own? Possibly. Certainly possibly. But certainly this example, this illustration is not new. And as you're going to see in the course of the Gemara, it's gonna lead us to another big discussion. Okay, you'll see. The Gemara, now the Mishnah on the top of Daf Mem. Next scenario: Misha Zimanetz Lo Orchin Lo Yalicha Beleda Manos Elyin Kain Zachlehem Manasim Erev Yantov. So let's say you invite guests over prior to Yantov, and again we're talking about a one way relationship from a Tchum standpoint, meaning you invite a guest to come over to you on Yantov. Now your food, you invited them, happens to be that they live beyond Tchum. So in order to get to you, so they had to make an Erev Tchum prior to Yantav. Okay, well, this was all agreed upon before Yantav. So that what they did is they set up an Erev Tchum prior to Yantav, so that extended their Tchum, giving them the ability to come to you. Okay, but here's the challenge. The challenge is that you're feeding them your food. Okay, so your food, which is bound by, of course, your Tchum. So when they come into your house, then they're going to sit down at the table, so can you feed them the food? Sure. Now, it's true that the food, from their perspective, started off on Yantav outside of their Tchum, but so what? In other words, they're going to be sitting down at the table. They're not taking the food anywhere, so they can sit down at the table. They can enjoy the food. They can eat the food. Ah, what about leftovers? Okay, so the Mishnah over here describes, let's say the meal's over, and you have a lot of leftovers, and you want to package it up and give it to them so they can take it home with them. Ah, you see, they can't do that. The Mishnah says they're not allowed to take home the leftovers, because remember, going into Yantiv, so they made a Tchum that was able to extend their boundaries in order to come to you. But the food going into Yantiv wasn't their food, it was your food. Now, it happens to be that you invited them and you hosted them. But when all said and done, it's your food. So now for them to take your food back with them, they can't do that, because your food is bounded by your Tchum. And even though you want to try to give it to them on Yantiv, but it started off on Yantiv being your food. Okay. So they can't take the food home with them as leftovers. So really curious and interesting scenario. But again, once you know the rules of Tchum, it all makes sense. So now the Mishnah does point out, I read it, but I didn't translate it. Now I have an opportunity to translate it. Now let's say you're forecasting the following. I know I invited them to come over for Yantav. I know they made a Tchum in order to get to me. I'm not changing my Tchum. My Tchum is my Tchum. I'm happy with my Tchum. But I do want them to take home the leftovers with them. So the Mishnah says here there is a solution, and the solution would be, so Zechiah, what I'll do prior to Yantiv is I'll just simply transfer ownership of this food over to them. In other words, and I don't have to have them here to do so. I'll do so Alidei Acher, the Mishnah says at Beferish. Just simply get a third party involved, and as long as somebody accepts it on their behalf, so now I can transfer ownership of the food over to them. Now they can go home with the leftovers. Because prior to Yantav, now the whole food was transferred over to them. It's now their food. Since it's their food, so it's now going to be bound by their Tchum. They made an Erev Tchum to extend over to come over here. So therefore, they can go home. Not only can they go home, they can take their food home as well. The leftovers home as well. Okay, good. So Ad Kan, that takes us now to the end of the Mishnah. So two really interesting scenarios in the Mishnah regarding what happens now with this idea of Tchum and Yantav. And two scenarios regarding a person with his inability, scenario number one in the Mishnah, a person's inability to bring his fruit back to his house on Yantiv, because the fruit started off from outside of Tchum, and although there are other people who have the ability to bring the food to him, but because it's his food, and he didn't make a Tchum to get to that food prior to Yantiv, so the food is stuck over there. That's scenario number one. Scenario number two is that you invite a guest to come over, and now because they made a Tchum to come to you, but you didn't make a Tchum going to them, so you can't send them home with the leftovers, because the leftovers are yours, bound by your Tchum, not by their Tchum. If you make a Kinyan prior to Yantiv, okay, so that'll fix scenario number two. That'll correct scenario number two. Okay, good. So those are the two scenarios in the Mishnah. Again, the scenarios in of themselves, by the way, right, give yourself time to process it. They're both a little bit complicated, right? I have already spent a good amount of time just going over the scenarios, making sure I got it right. Okay, it's going to get just a little bit more complicated today, but okay, that's the basic point of today's daf, is this one-directional tchum. So itmar amafkid peros of etzol chavero. So Rav Amar Karagle Mishiv Kido La Ushmol Amar Karagle Amafkid. So we start off the Gemara with a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel over the following scenario. So let's say it's a regular case of custodian relationship. I give my fruit over to somebody else prior to Yantiv for one simple purpose, and that is shmira. I want him to guard my fruit, okay? And he accepts it. He accepts to being a shomer. Okay, so now we have a classic custodial relationship where It's my fruit, but it's in somebody else's house. And he accepted to be a shomer. Good. So now you have a mafkid. Let's call him the owner. And you have the nifkad. Let's call him the shomer. Good. So in terms of liability, so we know the rules. And if we don't know the rules, so that makes up a good part of Bar Metzia. And so good. So in terms of the liability, the financial liability, that's not a beitza discussion. What is a beitza discussion? So as you can guess, as we are now here finishing up the Masechta, we're in the fifth parak of the Masechta, so the beitza discussion is going to be, whose tchum does it subscribe to? Does it subscribe to the owner's tchum, or does it subscribe to the shomer's tchum? Okay, now if you think about it outside, right, it's a pretty decent brain teaser, meaning when I entrust somebody else to watch it, so I fully understand right now that it's not going to be in my possession. So maybe I'm the owner. In other words, there's no question that I retain ownership of the item. That's the whole nature of a shomer relationship. In other words, I'm the owner. He agreed to watch it. And I understand, we all understand, there are various levels of shmira, shomer chinam, shomer sachar. But just in terms of a construct, I'm the owner. He agreed to watch it. Good. So from a tchum standpoint, so one could make, we're going to argue in either direction. So one could make the argument that because I retain ownership of it, so it still subscribes to my tchum. On the other hand, because I physically relinquish the item to somebody else, and he is the one who is watching it over the course of Yantiv, so maybe he because it's his shmira, so therefore it should follow his tchum. Okay, so where do we land on this? It's machlokas. So now, okay, very good. It's a good memory. So hold that thought. So hamafki peretz etzul chaver. So Rav amar karagle meshevkid olam. So Rav says that the tchum belongs to the shomer. Ushmol amar karagle hamafkid, and Shmuel's of the position that the tchum belongs to the owner. Okay, so it turns into a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Now the Gemara says, so let's do the following. Let's take this machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Let's compare it to another machlokas found in Baba Kama. Rav and Shmuel dazul tamar didnan. So here we are going to learn together a Mishnah. Baba Kama comes up. Baba Kama comes up. Baba Metzia, and that's the following. Imhichnas berushos. So let's say, right, the contemporary example is where I'm going to park my car, but we're not talking about a car. We're talking about an animal. And I say to somebody, look, can I park my animal on your property? Yes or no? Now, if I take my animal, the beginning of that Mishnah, which we're not learning together right now, but I'll mention it. The beginning of the Mishnah over there is where I take my animal, I put it into somebody else's property, believe it's just, without permission whatsoever. So there, right, I came in totally uninvited, totally without permission. Every liability is going to fall on my head. Okay? If my animal is damaged, obviously I don't get reimbursed. If my animal damages others, I have to pay. Okay, intuitive, and that's the first half of the Mishnah. But the second half of the Mishnah, which is what we're focusing on right now, is the following. So I say to him, look, my animal, can I park it on your property? Yes or no? And he says, yes. Good. So I certainly have permission now to park it in his property. Does that also mean that he accepts upon himself to be a shomer? The only thing he said yes to was that I could park it on his property. That's all he said yes to. And im hichnas b'rishus bal chatzar chayev. So according to the Chachamim say that his yes is not only permission granted that you can park it on my property, but in addition to that, you can also I will also take on all the liability of a shomer. Again, probably here shomer chinam, but I'll take on all the liability. That's the sheet of the Chachamim. And Rebbe Amar Lo Olam Eino Chayev Achi Kaba Allah Bal Habayis L'Shmor. So and Rebbe's of the position that No, were you listening carefully to the conversation? I asked, can I park my animal here? You said yes. According to Rebbe, my only yes is going on, you can park the animal over here. I'm not accepting upon myself any kind of shmira responsibility. All I'm saying yes to is that you can park your animal over here, right? If something happens to the animal, that's your problem. It's not my problem, right? Most garages, right? Just to give a more contemporary example of this scenario. Most garages were right that we are not taking responsibility for any damages that happened to your car, right? The only thing we're saying yes to is that you could park the car here, and we're also going to charge you. And recently I did this in Manhattan, and we're going to charge you a lot. Okay, good. But we're not taking any responsibility for that which is in the car. Good. So just, you know, I'm putting the Mishnah Baba Kama in more modern terminology, but the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rebbe is to whether or not an agreement that you can park your animal on my property also takes that yes into a shmira relationship or no. It just simply means you park on my property. Now, on this machlokes tanaim that we just learned together, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Halacha Kedivrei Chachamim, Shmuel Amar Halacha Kerebi. So we also happen to know machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, who do we paskin like? So Rav paskins like the Chachamim, and Shmuel paskins like Rebbe. And now that clearly is a liability discussion. Meaning that's a Mishnah Baba Kama. The machlokes Rav and Shmuel over there is they're paskining on how much liability you take upon yourself. And Shmuel says that we follow like Rebbe. That means according to Shmuel, so it's going to be extraordinarily limited liability. In fact, not limited liability, no liability. Meaning according to Rebbe, when I say yes, you can park on my property, it just simply means you can park on my property. But I accept upon myself no responsibility and no liability. Okay, good. That's the Mishnah Baba Kama, and that's the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Now what the Gemara wants to suggest is the following. Maybe the responsibility, liability, disagreement between Rav and Shmuel is going to match the tchum discussion that we're having over here. Now, obviously, they're apples and oranges, right? One is a financial liability discussion, and the other is a tchum discussion. But the relationship is still the exact same relationship. It is a question of me depositing something in somebody else's house, and now, how much responsibility does he accept upon himself de facto? And now, what the Gemara wants to do, it's really smart, but it's also smart how the Gemara separates the two, but the Gemara now wants to overlay one over the other, meaning that the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is going to overlap and actually parallel the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel regarding Tchum. So the Gemara says, so now, Lema, here's what we're going to suggest. Rav Damar Karabanan. So Rav is now going to pass on like the Rabbanan, meaning that the liability position of the Chachamim is going to match Rav's position. Remember, what did Rav say? So Rav says that in a regular pikadon, so who's the Baal Tchum? Whose Tchum does it follow? So Rav's of the position that it follows the Shomer's Tchum. And so now, and Shmuel, the Amar Karebi, and Shmuel's going to hold like Rebbe. So, and it really is smart. Meaning, if you think about it, so because what's Rav's position? Rav's position when it comes to Tchum is to follow the Shomer. Meaning, what is the Shomer? The Shomer basically is, now without saying the owner, because I can't say the owner, because we all know it's not the owner, but basically the Shomer takes on all responsibility, all liability. How is that evident? In other words, go back to the Mishnah, Baba Kama. In the Mishnah, Baba Kama, when I say yes, you can park your animal on my property, so the Chachamim, which Rav Paskin like, so the Chachamim are taking the position, good. In other words, just by simple virtue of the fact that you're parking it on my property means that I now, the Shomer, am immediately taking on full responsibility. Okay, good. So, and as a result of that, as a function of that, the Tchum is mine as well. And meanwhile, the Shita of Rebbe, which Shmuel Paslan's like over there, Baba Kama, says that no, just because I allow you to put on my property does not mean that I accept all responsibility. And as a result of that, who's the Bala Tchum? Whose Tchum does the item fall under? Not under the Shomer, but rather under the owner. Okay. So that's what the Gemara is trying to do. And Am Lecha Rav Ana D'Amri Afil L'Rebbe. And Rav says, don't do that to me. Meaning, even though I do happen to paskin like the Chachamim over there in that Mishnah, Baba Kama, but the Tchum issue is not necessarily connected. So Am Lecha Rav Ana D'Amri Afil L'Rebbe. Adkan Lo Kama Rebbe Hasam Ela D'Bistama Lo Kibal Ana Intirasa. Look, over there, the issue is a really simple issue. I asked him, can I park my animal on your property? And he said, yes. Rebbe just over there, locally over there would say, yeah, you know what the yes means? The yes means that all I'm saying yes to is that yes, you can park your car, you can park your animal on my property. But that doesn't mean I'm accepting Shmira. But over here, we're talking about a classic Shomer relationship. And in a classic Shomer relationship, when I hand something over to somebody and he does accept to be a Shomer on my item, so then included in that also is that he's going to be accepting the Tchum. Shmuel Amar Anadam Rafila Rabbanan, and Shmuel will say the same thing. Don't limit me to the sheet of the Chachamim. Because I can like lo kamir rabbanas amal dinichal elinishneikum to Rabbi Yishu say the bal chaser di masik lei la mechayev. So over there, when accepting to become the shomer of an item, when you accept the animal to be parked on your property, okay, so you accept yourself to be the shomer of that item. Avahachem inichal elinishneikum leikum per Rabbi Yishu say dechavre. But over here, look, I asked him to become the shomer. That doesn't mean that I want the tchum to follow his tchum. I wanted to still stay with me in my tchum. So basically, don't compare and overlay the liability discussion to that the tchum discussion. It could easily be separated out. Okay. So where are we right now? So basically, we're back at the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. When I give something over to somebody before Yontif and ask him to watch it, and he accepts the Shmira, so now whose tchum does it follow? So here we have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So Rav is of the position that we follow, the tchum follows the shomer, and Shmuel says no, the tchum follows the owner. Good. So that's the machlokas. Gemara attempted to relate this to the machlokas of Baba Kama. The Gemara says not necessarily. We're back to the machlokas. With that stated, so Tanan. So now we go back to our Mishnah. So now what happened in our Mishnah? Actually, it's pretty straightforward what happened in our Mishnah. So in the first scenario of our Mishnah, so I deposited my items by somebody else's property. Somebody else who made a tchum that could reach me, but I didn't make a tchum that I could reach them. And what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that as far as the food is concerned, the food is stuck. It's stuck. Which means what? Well, the Gemara says, I'll tell you exactly what it means. So, Tanan, v'im irivu perus of kamo, v'im akaragli mishiv kirotzlo, ki arivu mayhave. Even if you made an eruv going to that direction, remember the Mishnah said that if you made an eruv going there, so then you can go ahead and retrieve your food. Even if you made an eruv going in that direction, the Gemara says, mayhave, so what? Meaning, according to Rav, whose tchum does it follow? According to Rav, it follows the Shomer's Tchum. So that means to say that your ability to reach there shouldn't impact the food whatsoever. According to Rav, the Tchum is going to be following the Shomer, not the owner. And so this serves as a difficulty for Rav. So Am Ravuna, Am Rebe Rav, Kagon Shichilo Karen Zavis. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we'll do is that we'll make a new Kimta. Meaning, you're right. According to Rav, under normal circumstances, so if I hand over my produce or anything over to another person, so the tchum is going to be following the shomer and not the owner. Okay, that's under normal circumstances. Our Mishnah, which clearly states that the tchum is going to follow the owner and not the shomer, our Mishnah is talking about an unusual scenario. Notably, we're with Miyachi Karen Zavis. Not only did I entrust somebody to wash my item, but actually, we designated an area that's my area in his house. Now, when I say my area, either it could be that I rented out that area, or it could even be simpler. It could be that we just simply he lent me that area. In other words, however you want to say it, there's a designated area in his house that's mine, either via rental, via loan. It's mine, and so the Mishnah could be discussing that scenario. In that scenario, even Rav would agree that now the item's tchum is going to be following mine. Why? Because it's not just that my food is over there in that house. I also have a small piece of real estate as well over there where the food is located. And so therefore, the tchum is going to follow my tchum. Tashma. The Gemara says, okay, we'll do this again. Based on the second scenario of the Mishnah. So here I have now guests coming over. Again, how do they get to me on Yantiv? Via tchum. In other words, my house and their house is beyond tchum. But they made an tchum, and they extended their tchum in my direction. So that's how they got to my house. They sat on my table, they ate my food, and now taking leftovers home? You can't take leftovers home. Because again, my food to them is beyond their tchum. So they can't take their leftovers home. So what do I do? So what I do now, before Yontif, says the Mishnah, is that I do a zechia. I take the food prior to Yontif, the food that I know I'm going to feed them. I transfer ownership to them prior to Yontif. And then when they come over on Yontif, they can eat and they can take over the leftovers. Now, when you think about it, you realize, wait one second. That means that the food going into Yontif is what? their food, and I'm the shomer. Okay? Now, according to Rav, what does that mean? It means that who does the tchum follow? It follows my tchum, not their tchum. So now, once again, we're stuck at an impasse. Because according to Rav now, even if I did transfer ownership of the food to them, going into Yantiv, they still can't take it home with them. Because the tchum, according to Rav, follows the shomer's tchum, not the owner's food. Gemara spells out this question. So the Gemara says, okay. So once again, we'll say something similar that we said just moments earlier. And that is that not only did I transfer ownership of the food to them, I also designated an area in my house that's theirs. So now they have a piece of my house. Again, not even here, it's hard to say rental. Meaning whatever. I designated a piece of my house to them. I lent them a piece of my house. And so now, it's not just the food. They also have a partial residence over here. Okay, so it's theirs. It's theirs, not only in terms of the food, but in terms of the tchum as well. And Ibai Samazichashani, or the Gemara says, look, if I am actively transferring ownership of the food to them, so it's much easier to say that even though Rav normally says tchum belongs to the shomer, but if I'm being mezakeh, so you can imagine that, included in my zichia is not only the food, but the tchum as well. Okay, adkan. So we're left with a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. The Mishnah twice seems difficult for Rav. The Gemara answered both times in defense of Rav. But we're left off with, in a shomer relationship, when I hand food over to somebody else to watch the food, and he agrees to watch it, so now who's the bala tchum? Who's the tchum going to follow? So once again, Rav says it's going to be the shomer. Shmuel says it's going to be the owner. And the Gemara leaves us off with a unresolved debate. Who do we follow like? Do we follow like Rav or do we follow like Shmuel? Well, that's a bit of a brain teaser. Because by Isurim, we normally follow Rav. And by Mamonos, we follow Shmuel. Now over here, is this Isur or is this Mamon? A little bit of both. Because on one hand, we're talking about a Shmira relationship. So that generally speaking is a mamonos issue, but we are talking about a shmir relationship, but we're talking about how it affects tchum. Tchum obviously is this of a heter. Okay, so it would be tricky if I had to figure out whether this is more of a mamonos issue or this is more of an isur v'heter issue. Okay, Rav Chana bar Chanilai, story time. Rav Chana bar Chanilai tala bisra be'iber dedasha be'iber dedasha. Okay, so we're given the following story. Now, we don't have a lot of context to the story, and being that the story is placed over here, we right now think that the story is connected to the whole tchum discussion. And that's why the Gemara is at first going to be really confused, because the Gemara thinks that this is a function of tchum. So let's stay over the story. Let's keep in mind that we don't have really a perfect knowledge of what the context is. Okay, but let's say over the story. So, Rav Chana bar Chanilai, talabisra be'ibad dadasha. So, going into Yantiv, he knew that he was going to eat by somebody's house. He had whatever, he had special meat. I don't know, he had a special hashkacha. Okay, I can give a lot of narration over here. It doesn't really matter. Anyway, he had meat that he was going to leave over by the host that was specified for him. Now, he hung the meat on the back of the door. I know that's strange. it is an unusual place to leave your meat, but okay, that's where he left it. So now, also coming to Rav Huna. Now, he goes to Rav Huna and he asks Rav Huna, is it okay? Meaning, when I go over there on Yantiv tomorrow, can I eat the meat? And Rav Huna has the following psak. Depends who hung the meat. If you hung the meat, then the meat's mutter. And if they hung the meat, then the meat's aser. Now, like I said, we don't have a lot of context over here, so it's okay to be confused right now in terms of what in the world is happening. What's happening right now? Rav Huna's psak, it depends on who hangs the meat. If you hung it, then we're fine. If they hung it, then it's not okay. Like, what's happening over here? V'iyu tala mishakel. So the Gemara says, boy, am I confused. Okay, let's say this Rav Chana hung his own meat before Yantiv, on the door, on the back of the door. Okay, so Rav Huna tama de Rav Hava. So the Gemara says, okay, let's remind each other. Rav Huna, who is the one who issued the psak. So he's a student of Rav. V'amarav, kiragle mishif kirot fo. And we know what Rav says. Rav says that whose tchum do we follow? We follow the tchum of the shomer. If we follow the tchum of the shomer, what difference does it make who hung the meat? The owner of the house is the shomer. It should follow his tchum. That should be the end of the discussion. So shani ibra dadasha dekamishi yichalo keren zav is dame. Okay, so the Gemara now is going to try to argue. Well, in other words, if he hung the meat on the back of the door, it's as if he got a part of the house, he got a little piece of the real estate, and so therefore the tchum over here is going to follow the owner. Amalei Rav Hillel Rav Ashi v'inu talalei lo shakel v'amar shmo shor shal patam harei karagli kol adam. So, and the Gemara basically is beside itself. Meaning, this scenario over here is impossible to understand. The Gemara is going to ask three consecutive questions. Number one, let's remind each other what we learned just a couple of days ago. Shor shal patam harei karagli kol adam. You have a significant supplier in town who not only supplies locally, but he supplies also to others as well. People come from all over to buy from him. And now on Yontif, people are coming over to buy from him, right? You can buy from him on Yontif, right? The answer is yes. We discussed this earlier in the Masechta. So now, when he sells it, whose tchum does it follow? The answer is the buyer. Why? So as we explained back in the past, because you know going into Yontif that you're going to be selling it. And so therefore, going into Yontif, you're relinquishing the tchum to whoever plans on buying it, even though you don't even know who the buyer is going to be. So number one, so over here, they know he's coming over tomorrow. They know they're hanging the meat for him, meaning even if they hung up the meat, they're hanging it up for him. You really don't think it's going to follow his tchum? Like, that's ridiculous. Question number one. Question number two. Amle ravin l'rashi v'inu talale lo shakav amrava barbachana rav yochanan halachi karebi dosa. Okay, so once again, this goes back to a Gemara that we did a couple days ago. So remember the town with only one shepherd. So the town with one shepherd, so you know you're giving your animal over to that one shepherd. And even though you didn't actually make the transfer yet on Yontif, before Yontif, but you know you're going to give it to him, so whose tchum does it follow? It follows the one shepherd, because that's you know that's its destination. It's the same basic question. Over here, you know this piece of meat now is going to go to this Rav Chana. So over here, you hang it on the door for him, so it should follow his tchum. That's question number two. Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana v'inu talalei lo shakel v'hatanan ha-behema v'akelem karagli ha-balem. And once again now, in a third, very clear-cut point, so we learned that when it comes to animals, when it comes to kelim, it follows ragle ha-balem, its owner. So over here, if he's the owner of the meat, and even though they hung it, but if he's the owner of the meat, it should follow his tchum. So, okay. So basically, the Gemara cannot understand what's happening over here. And again, we weren't given enough context. So over here, Rav Huna says, well, if you hung it, so then it's good. If they hung it, meaning the owners of the home, then it's no good. The Gemara says, what does that mean? It's your meat. Even if they hung it, but they hung it for you, it should follow your tchum, period. So Ella, Shani Rav Chana, Bar Chanilai, So the Gemara says this has nothing to do with tchum. Okay. In other words, Rav Huna's psak was addressing an entirely different issue, and the Gemara says hesachadas. Okay. If you hung it, Rav Chana, so then you were in meisiachdas, and then you weren't distracted from it, and now it's fine. If they hung it, so then you were distracted from it, and then it's not fine. Okay. It still allows us to ask the following question. What? What are we talking? Hesach Hadas? What are we talking about over here? So even though the Gemara now recognizes that this is not a tchum discussion at all, and the Gemara now moves the discussion, still, after having read the Gemara, we still fully don't understand. What's happening over here? Hesach Hadas? Distracted? What does that mean? So Rashi over here offers two explanations. I'll present Rashi's first explanation, but fully aware of the fact that there is a second explanation within Rashi. The first explanation of Rashi is that this takes us back to the Gemara in Chulin, and this is the sugya of Basar Shen Esalim and Ayim. Okay, so the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Tzadi Hei, right? I wish I knew that without looking at Rashi. I looked at Rashi. So anyway, the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Tzadi Hei, so the Gemara brings down over there the Allah of Basar Shen Esalim and Ayim. If you have meat and that meat went unsupervised for a significant period of time, so that meat now becomes prohibited with the concern that meat was swapped out for other meat. Okay. Now, if there's a simen, If there is a sign in the meat is branded, the meat is cut in a certain shape, so then you're good to go. Okay, anyway, the halacha basar shen salam and ayim. And it happens to be that Rav over there in the Gemara in Chulin is the author of that position. That once meat is out of view and unsupervised, so then the meat's going to be prohibited. Good. So what Rav Huna was addressing over here, Rav Huna, who's a student of Rav, was addressing the basar shen salam and ayim issue. And that means to say that what Rav Huna was concerned about was that if Rav Chana, and Rashi says it, so I know I'm going to say something that's a little harsh, but Rashi says it. Rav Chana, so he was a absent-minded genius, okay? And his head was in learning, and so, you know, he lived on this earth, but in terms of his mind, he got easily distracted. And so, if he hung the meat up by himself, so that now means that's enough of his own action where it's going to distract him less from that meat, and therefore it doesn't fall under the category of Basar Shen Salam and Ayin. If, however, they hung the meat up for him because his head was so in learning, so he was totally distracted from that piece of meat, and therefore that meat now would qualify as Basar Shen Salam and Ayin. That's the way Rashi presents it, but again, that's only the first explanation of Rashi. Rashi does give an entirely different explanation, predicated on Muksa. Let's move on in the Gemara. Okay, where do we stand right now? So we just covered the second to last Mishnah, I should say, of the Masechta, which once again deals with Tchum and various issues of Tchum where I have my possession somewhere else, they can get to me, I can't get to them, or conversely, I can get to them, they can't get to me, and the various scenarios of what happens under those circumstances. And coupled with that also, a basic machlokas between the Amoraim, between Rav and Shmuel, where I entrust somebody to watch my food going into Yantiv, who now becomes the Baal Tchum? Is it the Shomer? Is it the owner? Machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Okay. Next. Last Mishnah of the Masechta, in Mashkin V'Shochten and Samid Barius of Amashkin V'Shochten Es HaBaisos. So our last Mishnah over here is going to take us through the world of Muksa. And over here, animals which are Muksa, animals which are non-Muksa. Okay. It's good. The Masechta started with Muksa. It ends with Muksa. Okay. So I guess in that regard, it makes sense. So otherwise, what this mission is doing over here, after spending the entire parak talking about Tchum, okay, certainly accurate. The truth of the matter is, I'm just quickly reviewing the parak in my head. The whole parak wasn't dedicated to Tchum. Most of the parak was dedicated to Tchum. Regardless, the issue over here now becomes an issue of Muksa, and if I have Midbarios. Midbarios are kosher animals, but they're wild, right? They're not domesticated at all. You know, we'll explain what that means better in just a moment. So under those circumstances, so ein mashkin v'shochten, you can't give them to drink, you can't shech them, meaning they're muksa. However, if they're domesticated, the Gemara calls that baisos, from the word bias, right? They're homely animals. Again, definition TBD. So then you can feed the animal, you can shech the animal, good. Eluhein baisos, halanos be'ir, midbaros, halanos ba'afar. Okay, so the Mishnah over here gives a really rudimentary definition of what is considered wild and what's considered domestic. Wild animals, so they're out to graze. They're somewhere in the, I don't know, in the wild. They're on their own. Independent. And the baisos, so they come back to roost. Okay, now again, it's really rudimentary, but the Gemara is going to try. Is going to try to further help us define. But before we do that, lama l'lameimer mashkin v'shochten. Okay, we're talking about giving them water to drink. And that's not really the main point of the Mishnah. The main point of the Mishnah is whether or not you can check them. So why are we talking about hydration over here? Now we all know hydration is important. So the Gemara says milch agav orche kamashvalan delishke inish be'emtav ad delishcha mishum stircha demashcha. So the Gemara says lo derech eretz. And that is that when you hydrate an animal prior to shechting it, it'll make flaying the animal that much easier. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Okay. The Tanur Rabbanan. Elohein midbaris ve'elohein baisos. Okay. So we have a brace over here that's going to help us further define what is wild and what is a domesticated animal. Midbaris kol shiosis bepesach v'ros ba'afar v'nechnasus b'revir rishona. So midbaris, a wild animal. So they leave springtime. They come back sometime in the fall. Okay, so for half the year, they're gone. They come by Revir Rishona, the first rain. Okay, get ready. Masechta Tanis. It's not the next Masechta, but it's coming up pretty soon. And we're going to be talking about the various times that we're expecting the rainfall. happens to be that we're in the month of Mar Cheshvan. Okay, time, good. Elohein Baisos. And as far as domesticated animals, Koshiotzos Veros Chosotchum, Ubaz Falon Besochatchum. So it doesn't go out for half the year. It goes out, but it'll come back, presumably nightly. Anyway, that's the Tanakama. Rebbe Omer Elav Elav Baisos. Rebbe says, please. What you just described in both of those scenarios are domesticated animals. So you know what a wild animal is? It never comes home to roost. Meaning not in the fall, not in the spring, period, nothing. Doesn't come home to roost. So fine. So that's the that's the shita of Rebbe. Umisle la Rebbe Moksa. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. That's such a funny discussion. Not defining what is domesticated versus what is wild, but by virtue of the fact that Rebbe now is trying to work on definitions, so that means that Rebbe is subscribing to Moksa. Does Rebbe subscribe to Moksa? Gemara says, I don't think he does. Umisle la Rebbe Moksa v'habai mine Rebbe Shimon. By Rebbe, may Rebbe. So the Rebbe Shimon, the son of Rebbe, asked the following question of Rebbe. Pitzile tamaru la Rebbe Shimon mahu. So let's say you have your dates. Now Rashi goes over here through an elaborate scenario where you pick the dates off the tree, you pick them off a little prematurely. They're not yet ripe. So what you do is you wrap it up in some sort of palm leaf and some sort of frond, and it helps accelerate the ripening process. Okay. You really can't ask me. I have no idea what's happening right now, but I get the basic idea. In other words, so basically somehow you're able to help accelerate ripening. And now the question becomes the following. So according to Rabbi Shimon, can you open them up on Shabbos? Muksa or not muksa? According to Rabbi Shimon, meaning as we've been discussing now over on Masechta, this is like one of the most basic takeaway points of the Masechta in terms of the scope of muksa. Rabbi Shimon has a limited scope and Rabbi Yehuda has a much wider bandwidth of muksa. So the Gemara says, so according to Rabbi Shimon, what would be the halacha? Meaning, Rebbe's son knew that Rebbe subscribes to Rebbe Shimon's view of Moksa. And so the question becomes, is this within or without the purview of Moksa, according to Rebbe Shimon? Amarle ein Moksa la Rebbe Shimon, ela grogeris vitzimukim. And so the answer is that Rebbe Shimon's scope of Moksa is so limited, it's only in the case of grogeris vitzimukim. I took fruit which is perfectly edible, and I put it up to the rooftop in order for it to dry. We've given this scenario so many times over in Masechta, which means that I actively was mikatz das. I didn't just simply say, nah. I actively put it up there on the roof to dry so that I actively put it out of commission, granted temporarily, but that is muksa according to Rabbi Shimon. Over here, this doesn't fall into the category of muksa according to Rabbi Shimon. So, what do we see clearly? What we see clearly is that according to Rebbe, he subscribes to Rebbe Shimon's view of Muksa. So over here, our entire discussion for Rebbe, it's a curious discussion that we're having right now. What's the definition of domesticated? What's the definition of wild? According to Rebbe, who subscribes to Rebbe Shimon's view of Muksa, who cares? Right? The domesticated animal, it's good. Even the wild animals, they're also fine. In other words, the whole discussion of our Mishnah is Aliba to Rebbe Yehuda, not according to Rebbe Shimon. Presumably. So what's Rebbe doing working on definitions? So the Gemara gives, I think, three answers altogether. So the Gemara says, the animals are the wild. So it's tantamount to taking your fruit and putting it on the rooftop in order for it to dry. Okay, it's definitely an answer to struggle with, meaning they're not comparable. But the Gemara says, maybe you could say that. Alternatively, you could say that really Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda. And when asked a question by his son, they were just talking and learning. Would Rebbe Shimon, would Rebbe Shimon put that under the category of Moksa? And he might say, And it could also be, as a third possibility, that Rebbe was just, he wasn't addressing his own opinion, meaning as far as I'm concerned, I subscribe to Rebbe Shimon. So I don't think this whole discussion is necessary. But if I can, meaning your definition of Moksa, I think your definition of Moksa is no good. I think in terms of what is a domesticated animal versus a wild animal, you think if it comes back in, if at least for half the year it's considered Moksa, I'm telling you, no, that's not Moksa. right? In order for an animal to be muksa, if you were to subscribe to muksa, it has to be out the whole year round. Okay, I disagree with your definition, but I'm only operating on your platform that you subscribe to muksa. I personally don't subscribe to muksa, meaning, or I subscribe to Rabbi Shimon's muksa. So for me, the whole discussion becomes academic. But at least within that academic point, I disagree with you. Okay. Hadronach. That's the conclusion of the Masechta. Tomorrow, Emir Hashem, we start with Rosh Hashanah.